Let's do this. Let's kick this pig.
No, we don't say that anymore.
Well,
we don't say let's kick this pig anymore. We have a thing that we play.
I know.
Well, I'm stalling because I'm trying to get to the directory that has the thing in it.
You asked if we were ready. Let's go. Let's
I'm working on it, Adam. Dear God.
Come on. Put the pedal to the metal.
Hey, previously on Dubious and Tim Plus.
Joe Batanz? Well, you know, I'll never forget the time that when he was a younger man that he took you to that taco place that didn't have any tables and chairs. And
hey,
it's one of those things he'll never ever fucking get. What am I trying to say?
He'll know.
I'm sorry, Donna Sugars, what did you say?
He took me to a wonderful Mexican restaurant when I went back to California, and it had chairs.
Oh.
The Palatial Pride 48 Studios, high atop the universe. It's time for TI Plus to come screaming at you through today's interwebs. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever the time of day it is where you are, we're glad you've joined us today. TI Plus is brought to you by Hacking the System. Hey, if you'd like to know some really cool travel tips, you should probably watch Hacking the System on the National Geographic Channel. Check them out at hackingthesystem.com. And don't forget to use the special listener checkout code DI Plus for an amazing traveling discount. I got nothing. I don't know. Welcome to DI Plus. I am Daniel Brewer, and I am joined from the Hacking the System free state of Arkansas by the one and only Mr. Adam Burns. Hello, Adam.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, Daniel.
I see. You're practicing.
How are you?
Are you practicing? I am doing well. Thank you for asking.
It doesn't matter if I practice, because no matter how I do,
yes,
it will never even come close to touching the
intro sucked, Adam. You know this. I know this. The chat room knows this. Everyone knows this. That intro sucked. However, what you are referring to is the fact that I am leaving for 2 weeks, and as such, I will have to miss next Sunday's show, and so you will be doing the intro next week. Is what I'm trying to say.
Yes. It'll be myself and Joe Batanz.
Joe Batanz.
Or Bettens.
Joe Bettens, I believe. I've heard it both ways. But yes. Joe Batanz.
It depends, you know, where you're from, where you put the accent.
I see.
But yes.
Uh-huh. And then you are going to be gone the week after that.
I am.
But I will be back. So my God, this is so complicated. So like on April 26th, which is this coming Sunday, I won't be here. Joe Batanz will be here. And on May 3rd, you won't be here. I will have a guest host on May 3rd.
Yeah, so we won't be together.
For a long time.
We will not be together for like 3 weeks.
We won't. We will like ramma lamma lamma da dinga da dinga dong.
Yeah. So I hope you enjoy this time we're having together tonight, as I will enjoy the time with you.
Yes. Now, the chat room is complaining. Well, one person is complaining about your volume. And I got to admit, I keep asking you to turn it up and then you keep fading. So I don't know what's going on with your volume.
Well, here's all I can say about that is it's all the way up.
Okay, great.
So
great. You know, as you get older, perhaps you have problems keeping it up like that. I'm not really sure. Auntie Vera Charles in the chat room wants to know if she can be my co-host. Now, Vera, I have already booked a co-host, but because I didn't ask you because I figured A, you would say no, and B, no, but I would love to have you on it. You know what? I will go ahead and spill the beans. The co-host that I have is Christine from Greetings from Nowhere. And if you would like to join us, I'm sure that we would love to have you. We have nothing special planned.
Now, is it Christine or is it Christina? Does she go by Christine now?
Chris. It's just Christina. Christine, Chris, Christina, Chris. They're all okay. Interchangeable.
So not Nicole. You know, actually, Nicole messaged me on one of the social networks the other day.
Now, I did not ask Nicole because I figured, you know, she's a Christian, so she should be on with you.
Right, because us Christians need to stick together.
Right.
Let me tell you
yep. How
it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we need to stick together. It's like, I don't know, it's like we're the Starks. you know, and we need to stick together.
There you go. So yes, Mags has booked it now. So Mags is going to tune in on May 3rd to hear Auntie Vera Charles and Christina from Greetings from Nowhere.
Great.
I won't even be there. I'll just run the show. I'll just sit back in the back.
I'm going to turn one more thing up and see if, you know, if that helps you guys any.
You're going to take a little bit of Cialis there over there. You know what, Adam, while you're doing that, you know, it is 9:19 p.m. on a Sunday evening. And that can, of course, mean only one thing. We were streaming live on Pride48.com in front of the world's most amazing chat room full of the world's most amazing people. Let's see who we have in the chat room this evening. Adam, who do we have?
We have Auntie Vera Charles.
Oh, Jesus Christ, that's loud. Oh, yeah, you're fine. I'm kidding. Go. I kid.
We have C.T. Yaley. We have Jeff Ferreri, Jaded Tristan, Mags, Tim in Alaska, and that's it.
And us, yeah.
And us, yeah, we're there.
Yeah. Great. Well, that sounds great. I'm great. You know, C.T. Yaley is the my friend here in Connecticut that wrote the Adam and Daniel, I mean, the Curtis and Daniel theme song.
Oh, the one you have lunch with.
Yes, the person I have lunch with.
Okay, hi person who Daniel has lunch with.
I don't know why I'm being cagey about his name. His name is Bill, but I, you know, it's
Daniel really enjoys your lunches together.
I do.
He talks about them all the time.
I do. I enjoy having lunch. He was there at lunch with me the other day when you and Joe Batance had your whole meltdown.
Oh, Joe and I, please. I can't talk about Joe. We cannot talk about He Who Must Not Be Named.
Oh, okay.
On the show anymore, because he will listen to it tomorrow and there will be a text message saying he's not going to see Mark and I the whole trip to LA.
Right.
So I shouldn't even have said that. Joe, yeah, I love you. I didn't mean anything.
Oh, no, it's already happened. He's already sent the text message at this point. At this point in time, I'm going to make a prediction. At this point in time, I am sitting in Terminal C at LaGuardia tomorrow right now that I've just now received a text on my phone. It's probably about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I just received a text on my phone from Joe Batance.
Well, you know,
Adam said some mean things. Now I'm just not going to talk to him.
Well, you know, and maybe it could be all my fault, but
I'm going to go with that.
He and I had had a conversation and I thought.
Are you going to rehash this? Can we just not
no,
just let
I'm
this?
Not. We're okay. just going to go on. Anyway,
it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Joe
some
and I,
things
Joe
were
and
said.
I, we are fast friends. We are fast. And we are so it's going to be so exciting. And Mark and I and Joe are all three excited to see each other and to have a wonderful time.
All right. Before I forget, because I often do, at the beginning of the show, you may heard that you'll hear, you know, someone say previously on Dubious Intent Plus, there are many people who have sent in those files for us to play. And I have been trying to be really good about thanking the people that I play the night that I play them. But I realized that I forgot last week, which was Taffy from Pod is my co-pilot podcast. So Taffy Carlisle Huffington did last week's on. So thank you very much, Taffy. And this evening's selection was from Larry, who is from the, I'm going to get it wrong. Because he and TJ are now doing a new podcast. I want to say it's called Brain Dead.
Brain Dead?
Yes, I believe it's called Brain Dead. And if you want to find out where to find them, go to pride48.com/shows and just search for Brain and you can find it there. So.
I think that's a playoff of him being, he was always like Brain Hammer or something.
And TJ is a zombie, right? TJ is a zombie. See, I got it. I just didn't want to get the name wrong. That's what I'm trying to say. I didn't want to be like, yeah, their show is called Dead Brain. And, you know, wouldn't carry. You know what, Adam, it doesn't really matter. So,
speaking of death, Daniel.
Yes.
And zombies.
Yes.
I have to give an update. I know this is not a TV review show. And I'm not going to give any spoilers, even though like we are way behind. And if I'm spoiling anyone, you should have already watched it. But I won't. But what I will say,
are you really?
Mark and I,
you're worried about spoiling Game of Thrones, the Red Wedding from like season 3 of Game of Thrones 2 years ago.
But I'm not gonna say who died. But anyway, look, people, and I realize I'm way behind. And 2 years ago, other podcasts were talking. I realize it. I know. I was prepared,
Adam.
I knew,
Adam.
Yeah.
I know you're a Christian and everything, and I don't really, I don't mean to do this to you, but I'm going to do it to you anyway.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, Jesus died.
Okay. No, let me, you beat me to it. Dang it. The phone on that side of the studio.
Hello.
Yeah, hi guys, I see Christopher, that's over your death phone yet again. Jeffrey Lewis, long time Clint Eastwood collaborator and actor in a lot of his movies. Dead at 79. He's also the father of what's her face?
Yeah, what's her
Juliette
face?
Juliette Lewis. Okay, bye.
All right, Adam, your call.
He's a what? Tell me again.
He's an actor. Trumpy? He's an actor, and he's the father of Juliet Lewis.
What was his name?
Jeffrey Lewis.
And what does he act in?
I don't know. Clint Eastwood movies. I don't know.
Sure, why not? What the hell?
That's not great. There you go.
I wasn't prepared for that one because that was a holdover from last week. I'm like, who?
Right. According to our Hollywood celebrity, correspondent in the chat room, he's a huge character actor. Very famous.
All right. So we're watching Game of Thrones. We're catching up, whatever. And we got to the Red Wedding last night. And I just want to say,
yes,
I had prepared myself for this because I knew that like everybody dies, right? I mean, all I knew was like all these people die.
It's called the Red Wedding because of the blood.
But I just want to say, first of all, they lingered on it way too long. Like, that is a depressing ass scene. And I do not need to see a couple of my favorite characters bled like stuck pigs. Thank you very much.
Right.
Also, I read books to escape real life. I don't need all this realism. The good guy is, I'm saying too much, but the good guy is supposed to win. And up to this point in the story, you kind of felt like these particular people, I'm saying too much, I'm spoiling it. But anyway, you felt like these people were going to end up being the good guys, right? I mean, I wanted like all the Lannisters to, anyway, regardless.
Wait, you wanted the Lannisters to what?
To die.
Oh, I thought you meant like you wanted them to win or something.
No, I wanted all of, actually, you know what? Okay, here's what I'm going to say. I feel like the cripple boy.
The cripple boy, yes.
And
the cripple boy and the Jew.
And Jon Snow. And Daenerys Targaryen, the uh-huh. dragon mother.
The mother of dragons, yes.
I think they're going to be three pivotal characters. I think all of these older characters are probably going to die at some point.
Uh-huh.
But I feel like these younger ones are really being set up to be the pivotal, like, you know, whatever.
Yes.
But anyway, I hate it. I tried not to be. I turned to Mark and I said, yep, that's fine. That's fine. I knew people were going to die. I'm not affected.
It's Game of Thrones time.
And the other thing is, I think they've shown one penis in the whole show. But every single episode, I see breasts and Brazilian, like, yes. little lawnmower stripped twats.
Oh, no. Chobotance actually brought this up on the premiere of the final, this current season of Game of Thrones last Sunday. That there was, within the first 10 minutes of the show, there was a woman who completely, fully, you know, disrobed gratuitously, and the person actually said, oh, that's not necessary, put your clothes back on. And then within the first 10 minutes, but then there was another one where the guy was walking around naked, and there was like every possible camera trick that could possibly be used to keep you from seeing his penis was in play. It's just,
I
like,
don't understand,
you know,
it they do
the,
show
the potted
one penis.
Plant the potted plant on the table. The you know, the knees in the wrong place, the whatever.
Who is it? It's like episode 2 of season 1. There's one penis like in the whole thing, and I think it may be Theon Greyjoy, or it may be,
right, which is funny because Theon Greyjoy,
oh that's horrible,
later loses that penis anyway. But it was sent to a sister, so it's okay. No Game of Thrones, so you were affected.
Even if they'd have shown that in the box, at least I'd have felt like they were showing a penis. But did they?
You're affected by the Red Wedding.
I just, did they?
So you don't like any of the Lannisters? You don't like Tyrion?
No, I like Tyrion, but what I don't like about that is how they all treat him.
Right.
That is so discriminatory. Just because he's a little person?
Yes.
Like, oh my God. Like, it wasn't, he didn't choose it. He didn't go, oh, why don't you make me a dwarf?
But you got to understand that the royal families are all about lineage and whatnot. And here was the son that basically would never carry on the...
Look, I've slept with a dwarf before, and that does not mean that they're any worse off anywhere else.
As someone who once owned a powerboat, I think I'm uniquely qualified to talk about politics. Right. No, I that's like this your non-sequitur thing.
Although he did have to use a step stool to get to his kitchen cabinets.
By the way, I Googled Jeffrey Lewis, and I do recognize him as a character actor. I would never have known that was his name, but now that I see him, I was like, yes, I've seen him in many things. A lot. He was quite
anyway,
good.
That's it. I know this is not a TV review show.
Oh my God, he died in Woodland Hills.
Did Auntie Vera kill him?
I don't know. Maybe he was at Vera's house. Do you think, like, maybe, like, the garlic chicken with garlic? You know, here's Adam. Yeah, I am traveling. I don't know if you knew this or not, Adam. I'm going to be traveling to the lovely middle of the country. I'm going to be going, I don't know if it's the middle of the country or not. I'm going to Wisconsin.
I know they make cheese.
They do. They're the cheese state there in Wisconsin. I'll be going to Wisconsin. So I've been packing today. Now, I know you and I listen to some of the same podcasts, and we listen to, but do you listen to Cord Killers?
Yeah, but it's kind of the last one on my list when I don't have anything else.
But it doesn't matter. But Brian Brushwood, one of the hosts of Cord Killers, is a professional magician and other things. But he has this show that he just started doing on Nat Geo called Hacking the System. And he's been talking about it on his show for a long time. And I was like, yeah, whatever. It happened to be on while I was eating. I was cleaning the apartment and doing stuff because I have a cat sitter coming in that's going to be staying here while I'm gone. So I had to make sure that the apartment's nice and clean. And so I was sitting down to eat. And I wanted like a little half hour thing to watch while I ate because I didn't want to get involved in a big hour long thing or else I wouldn't get, you know, I would just quit cleaning. I would sit there and watch TV all day is what I'm trying to say. So it turns out that Hacking the System was on and the episode had to do with travel, like things you can do to hack your traveling. Now, when they say hack in this sense, like here's like some little tips and tricks that you can use to, you know, to make your traveling experience better. And one of the things that he said is that if you roll your clothes, you can actually fit many more inside your suitcase than if you folded them. So like,
yes, that is true.
Well, I did not know this. And they actually did the little experiment and they had the equal number of clothes and these two big suitcases and they did it. So now I had two suitcases laying out. Cause remember I'm going away for 2 weeks. So I had two suitcases out. I had a big one and a small one laying out and I had all the clothes like laying out near them that I was going to, as I was doing the laundry. So I knew which clothes were going to go in there. And so I did that. I actually rolled the clothes and I am now only taking the one. I'm just taking the one big suitcase and I actually have extra room in there.
Now, I'm going to tell you that when you're repacking, like when you're going to be coming home, it becomes a little bit more of a pain to have to roll because they won't fit unless you do it that way. So when you're preparing to come back, you can't just throw your dirty clothes in, and you know, like in a heap or something. You have to actually go through the trouble of rolling them all back up again. But yes.
Okay, so here's the thing. So I got them all rolled in, and so that means that I had more room so I could put more things in there because I had to go buy a USB headset because I have to do the RuPaul Drag Race recap while I'm in Wisconsin. So I have to have some kind of device to record off of. And so I decided, because prior to this, I was just going to take one bottle of lube. I was just going to take, and it was a smaller bottle of lube because
how will you ever survive?
No, I was just saying, I have different kinds of lube, right? It depends on
your mood.
No, but it depends on the application, right? Like you would not necessarily use a silicone-based lube if you were going to,
This is a 1976 lube. But we do.
Anyway, the point is I have water based and I have some lube that's water based. I have some lube that's silicon based and I have other lube anyway, the point is that I have now, because I have all this extra space, I was actually able to put three of the bottles of lube in there. And I just have visions tomorrow. God. I have visions tomorrow being stopped by the TSA, you know, just like, cause it seemed to be my checked luggage, but I just have visions tomorrow of me being pulled off the plane, like them, like Marshall showing up on the plane before we take off and going, is there a Daniel Brewer here on this flight? Is there a Dan? I'm sorry, sir. That's far too much lube for anyone to actually travel with. And, we need to see you.
I'm sorry. I have this image of you, like, you know, you have somebody over and you're like, oh, pardon me, Andrew. Just hold on one moment. I have to step into the lube cellar. You know, I mean, how many lubes do you have? You know, I've got a red. I've got a nice white. Yeah, but no, I don't know. You know, did you put them in Ziploc bags?
Yes, yes. Oh, yes.
Because you do not want some lube leakage in
the luggage. I know. No, yes, yes. Especially silicon-based lube because it doesn't come out of anything. And you know, the trick to that is to use dishwashing detergent. Like if you wash your hands with dishwashing detergent, it takes it right off. Anyway, it doesn't matter. The point is that I've packed that. I have extra room in my suitcase now to pack these things. And I also decided that I wasn't going to take the Chromebook. I decided, you know what? I'm taking the laptop and I'm taking the tablet. Maybe I'll just let the Chromebook sit this one out.
All right. Well, you know, if you're taking a laptop, I don't think you need a Chromebook as well.
That was kind of my thinking. Although typically what happens is that I will take the Chromebook because it's a 13-inch screen and I can watch like Netflix and stuff like that on it. And it's so light and easy, you know, to move around so you can lay on the bed and watch Netflix when you're going to bed. And then, you know, if you knock it around or whatever, it's fine. Whereas the laptop is a 17-inch work laptop, a gaming laptop, whatever, and it's much bigger. So
I forgot what I was going to say. Dang it.
I really can't help you there.
I was going to say, I always have these grandiose plans that I'm going to take like a Chromecast with me or something.
Yes.
And that way I'll be able to watch things on the TV and whatever. Mm-hmm. And most hotels have not... They're not up with the times. Like you can't use the HDMI ends on their TVs.
That is are you aware of this? Are you aware that a good majority of the profit that hotels make is from you like using their shitty TV systems?
Well, I mean, maybe I, I don't know that I was aware of that, but that makes
like
sense.
Like all the pay-per-view stuff that they have on them. The more choices that you have to watch things, the less likely you are to buy their overpriced pay-per-view stuff, which is just pure profit for them.
Well, you know, I might use their overpriced internet to stream something of my choice if they would let me have access to their HDMI.
You have to understand that you are in your 30s. Mm-hmm. I'm in my 40s. We're kind of like, I'm definitely like on the bleeding edge of my age range. Like most people my age range, which are the people that normally stay in hotels, like business travelers just stay in hotels, aren't really technological. They're not very savvy. So they're just kind of like, oh, well, I want to watch this. I want to watch this titty film. And the only way I can do it is by paying this price. And so, okay, I'll just pay this price.
Right.
Meanwhile, I have a 64 gig USB stick that has, you know, it's filled with porn. So it's got every kind of porn you can imagine. So I don't even need the internet for my porn. I'm ready.
This is not related to porn at all, but my poor parents still don't even have a DVR. And I asked my mom last night, I'm like, why? It's probably $5 more than the box that you have sitting there. Why don't you get a DVR? You could, at the very least, well, I just don't think there's anything that we watch that we care about that much to want to record it. I just don't understand it. Like, at the very least, you could fast forward through commercials. We have to sit there and watch commercials. It drives me. Anyway, I understand. There are some.
Nico has joined us in the chat room, by the way. Hello, Nico.
I said hi to him. I just didn't want to interrupt the.
No, whatever. You know, the show starts at 9. It's okay. I get it. Nico doesn't show up until later. He's very important.
Well, you know, he's a very busy man. He has to take walks. He had to go take photos from the walk.
Post his Instagram photos from his dog walks. A lot of things going on there. It's just very.
I posted a picture on Instagram last night.
Hold that thought for just a second there. Let's see.
Yeah, hi guys. RT Cruiser for the Celebrity Death Phone. Marvel cartoonist Herb Trimpe or Trimpe, dead at 75. Most famous for co-creating Wolverine. Bye.
Okay.
I don't think that's a celebrity.
Moving along.
This is not one of my topics, but I'll just say I had a hankering for donuts last night.
Yes.
And I was just going to go to the local gas station, but apparently they pull up their donuts at 11 p.m. I have no idea because, like, we went to the gas station. There were no donuts there. So then we thought.
Wait, what did they do with them?
I don't know, but they were gone. Like, the whole thing is empty.
Did someone come in and buy them, or did they throw
maybe,
them away?
Well, maybe, but see, a couple of nights before I wanted a donut, and I went to that same gas station, and they were pulling trays out about the time I went. So I have this suspicion that at a certain time, they, like,
now, let me ask you this question. Let me ask you this question.
Yeah?
Was there a grocery store near there?
Yeah, so we went to the Walmart.
Okay,
you went to the Walmart. They did not have any.
How can Walmart have no donuts?
They didn't. Their donut case was empty. And they didn't have, they had some of those like full dozen, but they were like the Walmart brand. And I wanted like Krispy Kreme or something. I didn't want something. So then I looked on Google.
So you went home and you made some.
No. I looked on Google and it said Krispy Kreme was still open. We have a Krispy Kreme here. So we drove across town to the Krispy Kreme. No, Google was wrong. Krispy Kreme was already closed. So then we went to another Walmart.
Yes.
And when we pulled into that Walmart, they have little flower beds like in the parking lot. So we're walking up to the
And there were donuts, you know, in the flower bed, so you ate them.
No.
Oh.
There was a little baby bunny right up against a bush, you know, sitting there.
I took photos of him taking a crap on the bushes.
No, he wasn't taking a crap. He was so cute, though. We have a lot of bunnies around here. I don't know why, but we have a lot of bunnies, like wild bunnies.
Because it's Arkansas, I guess.
He was so cute. I grew up in South Arkansas. We had no bunnies.
It's probably all those ones that Walmart sold for Easter, and they overbred them. Here's the thing, Adam. I'm going to, just in case this ever happens to you again.
Yeah?
Okay. What you do.
I didn't want to cook any. It was late.
It's so easy, Adam. All you had to do was just go buy one of those little rounds of the biscuits, little Pillsbury biscuits. Do you know what I'm speaking of?
Yeah, like Hungry Jack. Or
You go, you buy one of those. And you take your little Teflon pan and you put a little bit of oil in it and you heat up the oil and then you basically poke a hole in the middle of one of the little biscuits and you drop it inside the oil and then you flip it over.
That would be the same.
Oh my God, Adam, have you never had this? Have you never made this as kids?
But I know what a biscuit tastes like.
No. This is it's completely different. The oil does some weird fucking weird thing where it's like when you cook it, when you deep fry it in the oil like that. And then you basically put it in a bag of sugar and you shake it around so that it's all coated in sugar. And oh my God, it's so, see, Vera knows, cinnamon and sugar. It's like, they're the most, it's like crack, Adam. It is like crack. It is unbelievable. Like, it is amazing.
I'm sure, and I'll try that sometime.
No, you're not. You're not going to try it.
I will. I will. But
how about if I told you that it was, I saw it on the Food Network, would that make you more likely or less likely to try it?
No, I would. I would try, not because of Food Network. I will try it, but I was not in the mood to cook last night, so it wouldn't have mattered. But anyway.
Uh-huh. Oh my God. We are joined in the chat room by Lamont Cranston. Lamont Cranston, by the way, I don't want to steal another podcast material and everything, but I know that Lamont Cranston met up with Joe Batanz, my co-host on the RuPaul Drag Race Recap Show.
So I'm going to put these next two topics that I have here in together. So we ran errands on Saturday. Kill that phone.
You know you have the ringer too, right? You know you could interrupt me. You know you could interrupt me at any point in time.
I can't. Okay, let's start yet again.
Yeah.
Hi, it's Matthew. Thank you, Arthur. Uh-huh. And Jonathan Crombie, actor, best known for Anne of Green Gables. He played Gilbert Blythe, the love interest. The very cute, sweet, you know, goody two shoes, but we all fell in love with him. Anne of Green Gables, boyfriend. Anyway, he's lost forever to time. Unless you're Doctor Who. Thanks.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to give that one to him. So I'm going to say, I'll do this one. Oh, yeah. We both did it.
Okay, well, there you go. Yeah, no, he was in Bullies. He was in Anne of Green Gables. He was in The Waiting Game.
I don't remember him especially from Anne of Green Gables, but I just want to tell you something.
What?
We had to read Anne of Green Gables when I was in elementary school, and we also watched the little miniseries, and I loved that.
This is just an aside here. I'm looking at a picture of him. He could be Gooch's brother.
Could be. So quickly.
Yes, what?
Before any death phone calls again.
Yes.
We did some errands on Saturday, and two things we wanted to do. We wanted to look at the new Snap Fitness that's near, because the gym that we normally work out at is like 15, 20-minute drive away, so it's inconvenient, and it's not 24 hours. Mm-hmm. This new one that opened that's about a minute drive from our house, maybe 5 minutes, is open 24 hours, and it's much closer, and you get a little access card that you can get in.
Yes.
And so we went. So I don't have much to say about that other than it's very small.
It's
so
very, very small.
It's small, and we have a fear that equipment will be taken up a lot of the time. So even though it's 24-hour, we don't really want to go work out at midnight, you know? So we did a 30-day trial, so we're going to try it out and just see.
What is the name of this gym?
It's called Snap Fitness.
Ooh, not even a good name. All right, here's my question, though, Adam. Do they have a cold water hot tub?
No, it's very small. I mean, it's like they've got a cardio section, a weight section, and the bathrooms. There's no locker room. Mm-hmm. They just have three bathrooms that have showers in them, but they're individual bathrooms. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but being a married man, I don't need to cruise anymore. So it's okay that there's, in fact, it's probably better there's no locker room because I'll be, I won't be tempted.
Right. Because, you know, it would never have a private bathroom. Nothing could ever go on in there.
No, but in a locker room, you're like walking around naked men, hot naked men. You know, I mean, it's different.
I would venture to say if men's toilets had like private stalls, then there would, you know, that you couldn't see into and whatever, then nothing would ever happen in there.
Someone asked me about cruising the other day and like how that works because they didn't know. And it's a gay man that's, you know, in his 40s.
All right.
I'm like, really? You don't know how cruising works?
I am desperate. I am desperate to hear what you said. I want to know what is Adam Burns's. I want to know what. Tell me, Adam.
No, this person was like, I said, you know, I was in this situation and I think somebody was cruising, but like, what do you do? Like he didn't know how to seal the deal.
I'll give you a scenario. I'm in an adult theater.
Well, then just whip it out and start going. You're in an adult theater.
No. I'm in an adult theater and I'm masturbating on a couch watching a film.
Right.
And someone comes and sits next to me and kind of puts their hand near me, but not on me. Is that person interested in me or not? And what should I do? How do I react?
Well, you need to make eye contact.
In a dark theater, I'm going to make eye contact with him.
You need to attempt to make eye contact, and you need to look from like eyes to cock. you know, and kind of let them know that you're watching and you're very interested. And then you can kind of, if it's a situation where they move their hand close to you, you can kind of move your hand kind of close to them. And then it's kind of like the whole under the stall thing where somebody mm-hmm. taps their foot.
Mm-hmm.
You tap your foot too. And then if you both are tapping your foot, you know you're interested. So then you proceed to the next level.
Or you're both listening to the same song on your iPod.
And then in a stall, you do that kind of peeking underneath. This is mm-hmm. after the foot tapping, right?
Oh, after. So wait. So we have the foot tapping. Now, you have to both be tapping your foot, right? So is it like, is there a certain...
Not at the same time.
Is there a certain rhythm or, you know, like, is like...
You can also like just move your foot closer to the stall wall. Anyway, I was giving lessons to someone the other day, that's beside the point.
Mm-hmm.
So the other thing that we had to do was we needed to buy suits because the Magic Castle requires suits. I do not.
Oh my God! So the person who you were talking to about cruising was Joe Batanz.
No, it wasn't.
Oh, okay.
But nothing, not related at all. But we had to buy. That was just a kind of an aside.
So you had to. Now, if you're in a men's store and you're getting a suit tailored, and the gentleman, like, you know, lingers his hand on your penis as he's like measuring your inseam. Is that cruising or not? Is that
whatever? So there was a really hot guy in there, actually, but there were lots of hot guys in there because here's what we picked: the one day that was high school prom for both of the major high schools in the area.
So these weren't hot guys. So, these were teenagers.
Well, hot teenagers. But anyway, no, there was a hot guy who was probably around my age who was hot mm-hmm. and his mom was there mm-hmm. helping him pick out a suit. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so we had no help, first of all, because all of these, there was a line from the back of the store to the door of high school.
Of hot teenagers.
Suits. Yeah.
Yes.
And so we were getting no help, and I've owned a couple of suits, but yeah,
you're not going for several weeks, or at least a couple of weeks.
Well, it needs to be hemmed and all that. So you know, it's a week and a half till
come to Men's Warehouse. But, we'll do it today.
And we went to Men's Warehouse actually. That's where we went. But anyway, so we decided, and I've owned a couple of suits, but I'm going to admit, look, I'm from Arkansas, and you know, we do the JCPenney special. Uh-huh. You know, when you go, you're like, I'm going to go get a suit, and you like go to JCPenney's or you go to, you know, something like that, Kohl's or whatever, you know, you go.
Kohl's.
And I've never liked them. They're ill fitting. They're like, I don't want to wear them. They're either too baggy or too tight or nasty.
Can I give you a piece of advice?
You probably have some website that I can go to and like take a photo of myself and they'll make it for me
Why you got to be that way? Why you got to be I'm trying to give you a sincere piece of advice. And you're just shitting all over me. Whatever. No, I don't want to give you my advice now. Yeah. Hello.
Hello, dubious intent boys. It is Matthew from Spanky the Arthur, and I am sadly calling to report another death.
Yes?
Lionel Barrymore has passed from a heart attack, and he was best known, in case you don't know, well, I don't know why you wouldn't, but he's best known for It's a Wonderful Life. Woodman and
the
Elves, Halloween.
All right, fine.
Can I just, I'm not making fun. Matt can take this. Matt.
He died November 15th of 1954.
Matt, do you have to call in as if you're a thespian on stage? Does everything have to be or not to be? This is Matt. Anyway, do you have to like, anyway,
he
it's
died.
Fine.
Yes, he did indeed die in 1954. Yes.
Matt likes to call and have people that died like 100 years.
That's because he got us once. It's like those cats that like they meow and you feed them and so then they'll just for the rest of their life they're just gonna meow because it happened once.
Look, I don't have time to do a bunch of research. Anyway, so
I was gonna give you my piece of advice about the suits.
Give me the advice.
And I'm gonna
give me the advice. Go.
Do you know why Men's Warehouse is successful? Do you know why people enjoy their suits from Men's Warehouse more so than their Sears suits? Or their JCPenney suits, or their Kohl suits.
I have no idea.
Because Men's Warehouse is very smart. They have tailors there. Now, tailors don't just work at Men's Warehouse. There are many tailors that work at all different, you can look them up in your local area. And what you can do is you can not only take suits that you buy, so you go to a store and you buy a suit that is close to your size, like preferably bigger than your size. But you know, the one that, and then you go to a tailor and you pay an additional couple of bucks. It's going to be somewhere, depending on the amount of work, make somewhere around $50, $60. You're going to pay to this tailor and they're going to tailor that suit. They're going to alter that suit to make it specifically fit you. And you don't have to just do this with suits. You can also do this with pants. You can do this, like, if you have a pair of pants that you like lost some weight and you like, but you remember your favorite pair of pants, you can have them. Or if you're just one of those really hard to fit people, like one of, you know, like, oh, I'm just like, I'm really hard to fit, but you know, I can't find jeans that show off my ass or whatever. You can go to a tailor and have them custom tailor the jeans to make it. And it doesn't cost that much. And it's like, I don't understand why more people don't do this.
Anyway, I went to Men's Warehouse because I had had the department store experience.
You're not
before.
Even going to say okay or
no,
you know,
I
fuck
think that's
you
a good idea.
Or
no. I understand that that's probably, first of all, let me just tell you, I'm not a big dresser upper, but as I'm getting older, I think, you know, I should probably start dressing a little nicer from time to time. And, you know, occasionally to work, maybe I should wear a button-up shirt and a tie, you know, some things of that nature. And so I'm not experienced buying dress clothes. I'll just say it right now because I'm a jeans and like polo shirt sort of guy, or, you know, jeans and t-shirt, you know, whatever. That is the type of guy I am. I've never liked the way dress clothes looked on me. But anyway, so I don't have any experience. So that's a good tip, actually, because I had no idea. But I knew that I didn't like the experience of getting them at a department store. And I knew Men's Warehouse had good deals, supposedly. How do I know? I mean, I don't buy suits. I don't know what they're supposed to cost. So we went there. And probably I would have done the whole tailor thing. I know tailors exist. But the act of having to find one and do the research and figure out where they are and all that kind of stuff, it was easier because I knew they would do it all there at Men's Warehouse.
Now, if you have a lot of time, you can go to moderntailor.com and you can actually like custom put in all your measurements ahead of time and they will actually.
But I don't want to measure myself. I want a professional to do that.
Well, you can actually have someone measure you. Mm. But I mean, the point is once you give them all your measurements, they will actually custom make you a suit. It takes about a month, but they will custom, you pick out the fabric and they will custom make you a suit.
So it was the busiest day of the year.
With the hot teenagers, guys.
With the hot teenagers. And we picked out a couple of suits. And we went and tried them on, you know, the whole thing. I mean, we tried the coats on, but we wanted to go to the dressing room to try. And we did that. We decided to do the buy one, get one free so we could get a more expensive suit, each of us, and, you know, just pay less money.
Yes.
And so we both, I think his is Calvin Klein. But anyway, I wanted to get a nice brand as well because I guess I'm brand conscious. I'm just tired of having crappy suits. So
what was the brand that you got?
I got Calvin Klein.
Yes.
And it is called plaid, but you're going to get like this weird impression, like I'm Matthew Lesko or something. It's a very tight, you know, grayish with a little bit of a plaidish kind of pattern, but it's not, it's a very nice looking suit. Anyway.
Would you say tweed?
I wouldn't say tweed.
Herringbone?
No. No, because that's a more of a fabric thing, right? Tweed is more of a fabric.
I was the one that called the coffered ceilings last week, and that's where my area of expertise is internal furnishings. Right. I know nothing about clothes.
So we got those. They got our cuffs measured and our hemline measured and everything. The pants were a little bit tight on me, but she told me as long as I could stick my fingers in there that they really didn't want to take it out any because they didn't want them falling off. And I'm like, yeah, my jeans always fall off, so maybe I need to just take your advice. So there you go. So it's going to take about a week. We will have them on Saturday, and that's it. So we have suits now. We are that much closer to being ready.
Absolutely amazing for your big trip. I know that's going to be great. Let's see. Let's go here, shall we?
Hey, Daniel. This is Kathy. Kathy, everybody calls me Kathy Bacon. Bacon is not my last name. However, I don't really want to say my last name. Of course, probably all your listeners are probably friends with me on Facebook. But anyway, my name is Kathy, and I'm calling the celebrity deathmatch.
Yes.
And I just wanted to report that there was a death
in
the musical industry.
Is the death of her phone quality or something? What the fuck?
She's talking in her sleep.
He's like, hi, this is Kathy Bacon, but my last name's not Bacon, and a lot of you know that because I don't want your listeners to start looking me up on Facebook and everything, but I do, you know, last time I called and I didn't leave my name, and I just want to let you know that this is indeed Kathy Bacon, and now I'm going to report a death.
Right, I know.
Okay, thanks.
You know, the only way I knew the name of the person... Oh, are you just going to do that?
No, I'm kidding.
The only way I knew the name of the person she was calling about is because she sings the song and someone else called for the
same
person.
No, I'm going to continue to play this call now.
Okay.
Singer Percy Sledge is dead. When a man loves a woman. Do you want me to sing it?
What?
My name is Kathy. I'm calling with Celebrity Deathline. I'm calling Daniel specifically because he likes me more than Adam does. So anyway, okay, I got a surprise for you guys. Like in 22 days, y'all are just going to flip your lid. I cannot wait for this to happen. So anyway, everybody's just going to go, no way, really? Okay. All right, well, goodbye.
I feel that we disqualified because I talked about
both of you guys. I had to push this in with their age. I don't know what their age is. Do their age, the age requirement. I don't know. I don't know. I paid for the shipping for both girls for reimbursement.
What?
She paid for the shipping? I did. Kathy, if you're saying that I didn't thank you for that, I thought on the show.
What's
going to
happen? This is so confusing. What is going to happen in 20-something days?
I don't know.
All right, there's all kind of questions here. But Adam, I don't feel that we can move on here. It's Percy Sledge, by the way, was the name in which she said.
He sang.
Oh, wait. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, we'll give her that. I hit the wrong button. That was a legitimate fake buzzer. All right, here's the thing, Adam. The chat room has been asking questions. I know that you don't like the chat room, that you keep ignoring them, and you won't answer their questions. But Lamont Cranston asked, when are you coming? No, that would have been a really inappropriate question. I think he said, when are you going to be there?
All right, so here's
no, that was
the deal.
Nico. Nico said, Adam, when will you be out here again?
So the deal is, first of all, I will be in L.A. From May 1st.
Hold on. Let's do this right. Are you about to make the announcement that I think you're about to make?
I don't know. I'll say it might be a maybe.
Yeah, I think you were going to, you know, I'm going to set the music for you so that you'll have, you know, so that you'll, you know, here we go. It's the Adam's trip to L.A. Go ahead.
Right. We'll be heading out to L.A. on May 1st. And doing the old tour, we're getting the old station wagon or whatever. I hadn't decided. I want to meet everyone, but it's a really packed trip, so I had not decided how or when we could fit that in. So I know there are some people that are interested. We are going to Disney on Saturday, and I have not worked out the details, so I don't want to make any promises to anyone. But we may do a lunch in downtown Disney on Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Now this is 2 weeks from now, so you will still have next week's show to clarify that.
Correct. Right. By next week's show, I will make a definite announcement as to when and if we'll be doing that.
Gotcha. Next.
So still working out details with Joe. Mm-hmm. And making sure we can fit that in.
Adam's trip to L.A.
Right. I didn't even think about it. I'm probably off from that music. All right. So I don't know if this is a real story or not, but it looks like it might be real, but I'm not sure. I mean, it's really like not going to happen, and I'm just going to read it. Okay.
The most heavily researched podcast on the internet, ladies and gentlemen, the most heavily researched podcast. And, you know, it may be real. Maybe I don't know. It looks kind of fake.
I'm going to tell you guys, this may completely be a fake story.
Might not.
I'm going to tell you right now, but I think it's real. A man with a fatal medical condition has spoken exclusively to Mail Online about how he is set to become the first person to undergo a head transplant and hopes it could be as soon as next year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Can't pronounce his name, but he says he is ready to put his trust in a controversial surgeon, Dr. Sergio Canavero, who claims he can cut off his head and attach it to a healthy body.
Mm-hmm.
He's 30 years old. He's a computer scientist from Russia, and he said his decision is final, and he doesn't plan to change his mind. As a lifelong sufferer of the rare genetic Werdnig-Hoffmann muscle wasting disease, he says he wants the chance of a new body before he dies.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the deal. The guy who's supposedly doing the surgery is a real person.
I am a human person.
And has done a TED Talk.
I have spoken on a stage with a microphone. I am a human person who has spoken on stage with a microphone. Let me cut your head off, please.
He says this Dr. Canavero has spoken to CNN, and he has received many and told them he's received many email letters from people seeking the procedure. But he insists the first patients will be people suffering from a muscle wasting disease.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
A lot of scientists don't believe he's going to be able to do it, but he is citing a procedure 45 years ago where a monkey head transplant was performed.
Both donor and patient would have their head severed from the spinal cord at the same time, using an ultra-sharp blade to give a clean cut. It's, you know, it's always important to have a sharp blade when you're cutting someone's head off. The patient's head would then be placed onto the donor's body and attached using what Canavero calls his magic ingredient.
Look, I don't think it's going to happen, but I think there could possibly be a guy out there that thinks he can do it.
He's got a GoFundMe page. Really, he's got to have a GoFundMe page. And he's like, oh, no, it's a magic ingredient. He's Italian. It's a magic ingredient. It'll put your head right back on the other body.
But, you know, if that could be done, that could be a cure for a lot of things.
If it could be done, that would be awesome. It would be called a cure to death. Right. When you basically consider that pretty much everything, you know, from your neck down exists to keep your brain alive, then it would be being able to move your head to another body would be an crazy, awesome thing to do.
Anyway, look, I'm just saying I don't think someone wrote that story as a complete farce. I believe the guy actually believes he can do it. And I believe there actually is a guy with some disease who wants it done. Anyway, moving on. In Georgia, a bullet fired at an armadillo .
I've heard it both ways.
Around here, you'd say armadillo, but ricocheted off the animal's armored hide and struck the shooter's mother-in-law. The Lee County Sheriff's Office.
I don't know how she got shot, officer. I was shooting at that armadillo over there, and it must have been that it must have ricocheted off that armadillo. I did not shoot my mother-in-law in the head.
So
we were sitting outside drinking, and she's mouthing off about something. I don't remember what the fuck it was. And an armadillo started running across in front of me, and I shot it. And so, weirdest damn thing, tarnation, damnedest thing, ricocheted right off that that armadillo.
It did. So the Lee County Sheriff's Office said Larry McElroy.
Lee County Sheriff's Office basically went, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
he have you watched the show Secrets and Lies? Have you?
No, I have not.
Oh, it is the most irritating. Anyway, so he fired his 9mm pistol at an armadillo Sunday night, and the bullet bounced off the animal's armored skin and went through a fence, a door, and a chair to strike mother-in-law Carol Johnson, who's 74, in the back.
And it later went on to shoot JFK.
Investigators said McElroy was about 100 yards away from the Johnsons' home when he fired the shot, which killed the armadillo, by the way.
He shot out the gun that killed the armadillo, that went through the door, that went through the wall, over the dock, and into the lazy woman.
Exactly. An investigator said that that Johnson was not severely injured. She was walking around on her own power and talking.
I thought he was a mosquito or something. I don't know what I slapped it. And he's like, damn, that's a big old mosquito.
Smith said the shooting at nuisance armadillos is not against the law, but McElroy might want to use a different gun next time.
Yeah, maybe not use a howitzer to shoot an armadillo.
I think if they're going to shoot at varmints, there's a word you don't hear very often. What is this? The Beverly Hillbillies? If you're going to shoot at varmints.
You're going to shoot at varmints, no asterisks, then don't use a howitzer.
And whatnot. Maybe use a shotgun with a spread pattern with a lot less range.
Correct.
All right. And lastly, one more story.
Oh, we're going for the three. I see.
Yeah.
We had pared you down to two at one point.
We had, but you know, we have time. Why not?
Here's the thing, Adam. Here's the thing, and I've had this conversation with you before, is that you don't bring up news stories that I can say anything about. It's not like we're having a discussion about this. I'm basically just making hick jokes about someone shooting their mother-in-law.
Funny. Yeah, I don't want to.
But the point is, but what do you say? It's like, do I come out against that? Am I against people shooting their mother-in-law? Or yeah, of course. But it's like I don't. It's not like we're going to have a conversation about this.
Well, look, where I'm from, we can discuss it, but there doesn't need to be.
You're sitting there holding that glass of cheap ass wine.
Yeah, it's my sparkling.
We can discuss it.
All right, Daniel, would you sleep with a pig?
I have slept with many pigs over the course of my life.
Because a Chinese woman apparently will.
Is her name Big Fatty?
I don't think her name is Big Fatty, but maybe he sleeps with pigs. A Chinese woman has become an internet sensation after charting life with her pet pig, who she dresses, walks, and even sleeps with every day.
Oh, so she actually just sleeps with. Yes. She doesn't have sex with the pig.
No. Sleeps in the same bed.
Well, you didn't really make that clear. I mean, I sleep with cats, but, you know, they sleep in the bed. them.
Did you click on the link for this story to see how big this pig is?
You said big, and now I'm intrigued. So now I'm going to click.
It's a pretty large pig. So this is not just a little piglet.
Size queen.
I mean, so
it is a 190-pound pig.
Yeah, I mean, this is bigger than most guys. You know, Chinese men are pretty small. So I'm imagining, you know, that if she sleeps with her boyfriend or something, he's probably all of like 120 pounds wet. But anyway, she's raised her beloved Five Flowers, I guess that's his name, since it was a piglet, and the porker has now grown to a whopping 187 pounds.
Oh, dear God, the plosives on this episode.
But that has done nothing to weaken the bond between the two, and Miss Zhu proudly is posting pictures of them snuggling up in bed together. Her husband is...
This
oh,
little
really?
Piggy went to market. This
Her husband is
at home.
Understood to be tolerant of the relationship. However, the same can't be said of her pet dog, who often peers enviously at the pig through a baby gate that keeps the mutt out of the bedroom.
The mutt?
Yeah. So, I don't even like the dog to sleep with us, though. Okay,
You don't let Sydney sleep on the bed?
Well, here we try, but I don't like Katie, who is my former dog.
Yes.
And Sydney, who is my current dog.
Yes.
Both are fairly small dogs, right? Medium to small breed. Sydney's a Shih Tzu. She's like 10 pounds. But they like to spread out, like all four arms and legs, like out in all directions, like all this kind of stuff. And they don't stay in one place. They move around during the night.
So do you.
And it wakes us up. And like if she wants to get down, she like goes to the edge of the bed. She's staring at us. And what one thing Sydney likes to do, I don't know if she thinks she's a cat. I don't even know if cats do this. But she walks up the bed to the head of the bed and wants to curl herself around our head on the pillow.
Yes.
Like one of those airline pillows. Headrest things, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know why she even wants to do that.
Because she loves you.
But it wakes us up. So generally, I leave her in, and we don't trust her enough yet to just let her roam around the house all night long.
Do you think she's going to like throw a party or something? She's like, well, wait for you guys to go to bed and like have the other bitches over for a little, you know, like a little late night party.
She might chew up a shoe or something like that. I mean, who knows?
A shoe and
a cord.
A chew. She might chew on a shoe.
Yes, exactly. So we don't do that. Anyway, I don't, as much problems as I have with a very small dog sleeping in the bed, I don't think I'd want a 187-pound piglet to sleep in my bed. I don't know.
I'm so glad you helped me get to the fiesta today. Do you know why today is such a special fiesta?
Why, Dora?
It's a birthday fiesta!
Yay!
So let's all sing happy birthday in English and Spanish. Ready?
Okay.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, happy birthday, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Alarm.
Happy birthday to you.
Alarm.
Happy birthday, happy birthday, happy birthday to you.
It is the DI Plus birthday segment, this time at the show, the segment of the show, where Adam will play a musical clue to someone's birthday, and I, using only my head, brain, and word mouse, will figure out whose birthday it is without cheating and using the chat room, unless, of course, I get stumped, in which case I will totally cheat, because that's just what I do. Adam, what is the first musical cue?
All right. I will tell you, some of these tonight may not be self-evident. I apologize, but it's one of those obscure nights.
The esoteric birthday night.
So here we go.
Here we go.
Let me make sure.
Is it Jesus?
Muted. It's not.
Okay.
That'd be December 25th. Here we go.
Yo, see what I want, what I really, really want. Don't tell me what you want, what you really, really want. I'll tell you what I want,
okay.
What I really, really want.
This is the Spice Girls.
Yes, it is. And the reason that this is more difficult is because there are loads of Spice Girls, but...
Now, I said word mouth. I'm sorry. I meant mouth words. Sorry.
Okay. So, yes, this is the Spice Girls.
There are many Spice Girls. However, not that many of them are currently, like, you know, famous.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's David Beckham's wife, Posh Spice, and then there's the judge on America's Got Talent, or whatever the fuck that show is. American Idol, I guess. It's America's Got Talent, right?
Maybe.
Yes.
I don't know.
Mel B. is on America's Got Talent. She was one of the Spice. I don't know which one. She was like Annoying Spice, I think.
She's the black one, right? She's Black Spice.
Thank God she's not the Jew. But go ahead, Adam. What's my next cue? Or is it just one of the Spice? Is it Scary Spice?
I had to think which one was Scary Spice. No.
Is it Posh Spice? There we go. It is Victoria something?
Yeah, Victoria Beckham.
Yes, David Beckham's wife.
Victoria Beckham is 41 years old.
She was also on the Big Brother in the UK.
No longer really doing much of anything. Mm-hmm. Okay, this next one you'll never get.
Oh, wait, no, she was on Big Brother. Someone on Big Brother looked like her. And like, I look a lot like Posh Spice. Anyway, go ahead. Yes, I'm waiting.
But it's very relevant to our conversation.
Very relevant. Here we go. Conversation.
Yep.
This is the theme to Game of Thrones, which goes on way too long.
Oh my God, I forward through it. Yes.
Ugh. It's like, ponderous, it's ponderous.
They like build a whole map.
Here's more killing things and dinosaurs. It's ponderous, ponderous theme.
Okay, I'm going to give you a one-word clue.
Gotcha. One-word clue for Game of Thrones.
You ready?
Please don't make it a conjunction.
No, it's one word. Here we go. Needle.
It is Arya Stark. I don't know her name, but she is the youngest Stark daughter.
Very good. She's a bit of a psychopath recently.
She's a psychopath.
But I think if all of my family, I don't want to spoil it for anyone, but I'm just going to tell you, she has been through a lot, let me tell you. Anyway, her name is Maisie Williams.
Yes. And if you want to see her, if you want to see her being very un-Arya-like, she is actually on one of the kids react to videos.
Like,
you know, they have that whole series that the Fine Brothers do. So like, there's kids react, there's teens react, and then there's adults react. She's on one of the teens reacts, like a recent one. I mean, she was actually already Arya when she did it.
Well, she's 18.
Yes.
And she doesn't really look 18 to me in the show. Mm-hmm. But Joffrey, I don't know if anyone realizes, but Joffrey he's in his 20s.
Yeah, he's actually 64.
And he looks like he's like 12. Mm-hmm. And I realize, look, I thank you, RT Cruiser. You almost would have spoiled that for me, but I just watched that episode 15 minutes prior to taping this episode. But I'm not going to say it because I don't want to spoil it for
you. How did
else.
You see that? Because that was you're nowhere near that episode.
No, it happens in season 4.
Oh, okay.
It's the episode 3, I believe. 2 or 3. Can't remember which one. Anyway, it's another wedding because he likes to do bad things at weddings.
George R.R. Martin just likes to kill things.
He doesn't like weddings. I bet he killed puppies as a child. That George R.R.
Move along. I got it right. Move along.
Anyway, yeah, you got it right. I don't know if I did that, but I'll do it again. All right. So anyway, she's 18. All right. Here's the next one.
She was born a coal miner's daughter. This is, of course, the theme song for the biopic pick, A Coal Miner's Daughter, starring Sissy Spacek, which was about the country singer Loretta Lynn.
I love that movie. I've said it before. For some reason,
suddenly now you're really loud. How did you become loud all of a sudden?
I don't know. I didn't change anything.
Okay, well, you became really loud.
Well,
It's fine. I got it here. Move along.
Loretta Lynn.
You know what? Crisco do you proud every time.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I don't. Did she do a commercial for Crisco?
Go ahead. Can we lose the playback there?
Well, yeah, we can. She's 83 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, 83. I don't know if she still performs or not. I'm not sure. But I bet she makes appearances on the Grand Ole Opry occasionally. Something like that.
Here we go.
Hi, folks. You may know me as Loretta Lynn, the country singer. But I'm also Loretta Lynn, a pretty good country cook, ain't I?
Won 17 blue ribbons to prove it.
Won me some Crisco, too. And today I'm still using Crisco, because when they make Crisco, they throw the pattern away. Now, I do tell you, Crisco makes pie crust real flaky.
Real good.
For real flaky pie crust, trust digestible all-vegetable Crisco.
Crisco will do you proud every time.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, that is the truth. Crisco makes like the best pie crust. My grandma swears by Crisco for pie crust.
Does she say it'll do you proud every time?
She doesn't. But no. And I also use butter-flavored Crisco when I make cookies.
Ugh.
And they're actually much moister and chewier than actual butter.
Happy birthday, Loretta.
Happy birthday, Loretta. Okay, here's our next one.
This is the theme to Buffy the Vampire Slayer. A mainstay of my childhood. This is Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Is it Buffy herself? Is it Sarah Michelle Gellar?
Yes.
Excellent.
You know, and the guy who played her love interest or something, Brendan something or other.
Angel?
Oh. No, the guy, not then I guess he wasn't her love interest, but oh. The guy.
There's
vampire
many
hunter.
Guys on. Oh, the guy vampire hunter.
Yeah.
That was Angel. Yes.
I don't remember what his name was, but he's cute. But if you see him, he's also in Criminal Minds now occasionally.
Uh-huh.
And he's really let himself go.
Well, there
but
you go.
Anyway. Sarah Michelle Gellar, she was
Are
also
you talking about
in,
Xander?
Yeah, him.
Okay.
He's really let himself go recently. But yeah, so she is 38 years old.
Buffy is 38 years old. Do you know that Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the TV show, was based off of a movie?
Yes.
Called Buffy the Vampire Slayer. You know, here's a fun thing about that movie is that a Paul Reubens was in that movie.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yes, Pee Wee Herman.
Was he Pee-Win? Was he Pee-Win?
No. He was Paul Reubens during that movie because this was right during the time that Pee Wee Herman was in the news for getting caught masturbating in a theater. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was Paul Reubens.
I can understand that if you're known to be a child, like if Mr. Rogers, for instance, had been caught masturbating in a theater, that might have been bad for his career as well.
Whenever, really, no, it was an adult theater. It was not like he was masturbating in front of children. He was in. He went into an adult theater to masturbate. He's like, leave the man alone.
Maybe you just don't want to think of your child role model, whatever. Think of them masturbating at all. I don't know.
Move along.
Here's the next one. The last one. Sorry.
Here we are, face to face, clicking the silver spoons.
This is from the TV show Silver Spoons. Which had a young Rick Schroeder in it.
I have another song, but do you want to make that your guess without the other song? Or
well, the only other person in that show was the father, and he was kind of lame. I don't think he ever did anything else. But yeah, go ahead, give me the other song. Give me the other song because you've picked it up. You've done it. You've gotten ready. This sounds very procedural.
Yeah, it is.
But this is probably that cop show that Ricky Moat, that Rick Schroeder was on.
Yeah, it's NYPD Blue.
There, that one. Yes.
Yeah, it is him. Anyway, I had to. I just felt like I needed to play him. Okay, Rick Schroeder, who actually is not bad looking for, he's not bad looking actually.
How old is
still.
He?
He's, I don't want to say four because he's like your age. He's 45.
How dare you, Adam?
So, but he's cute still.
Great.
So, yeah, happy birthday,
We would
Ricky
also
Schroeder.
Like to say a very happy birthday to Kirk Will and to, that's it. It's just Kirk Will. There's more, but they we will have another show before them. Before their
All
birthdays.
Right. Well, happy birthday, Kirk Will.
Happy birthday, Kirk Will. If you would like your birthday to show up on Pride 48, make sure you go over to pride48.com, sign up for an account, and click on the little checkbox that says, yes, I would like to be embarrassed on the air.
For helping me sing my way to La Fiesta. I couldn't have done it without you. See you soon. Hasta luego.
Bye, Dora. Happy birthday to you.
Alan.
Happy birthday to you.
Alan.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Cumpleaños feliz. Happy birthday.
Excellent. This is the section of the show where we read our voluminous emails and listen to our scads and scads and scads of voicemails that we get from people all over the globe.
Yeah. I got a text message. Sorry.
Oh, I see. Well, we don't read those. We do not read the text messages because then we would just be here for hours and hours and hours. Yeah, hours.
Yeah, we have contact from one person.
Oh, so we only have one, basically, what you're saying.
Yeah.
We have one.
But, you know, celebrity death phone calls really are contact. We just like to spread them out because there'd be too many to do all in the contact section.
So. But, you know, you guys can email us or call us, whatever. We enjoy hearing from, you know, what's up? What you doing?
It's true.
How's your life?
How's it going?
Anything new?
How's it hanging?
Really? Yeah. Sounds great. Yeah. Sounds great. Have you had dinner with Jobatans lately? Mm. Yeah. Like Lamont.
You like tacos?
Tacos? Tacos are good. Yeah. Maybe. Did you drive by Vera's house the other day? You know, things like that.
Sleep with pigs?
Someone actually texted me the other day and said, I'm driving in Woodland Hills. Do you know where Vera lives? And I'm like, no, I'm not going to tell you where Vera lives. Because it was Joe Batansk. He would have just gone and knocked on the door. It would have been sad.
I was going to ask Vera, do you have a spare room? I could just, you know, hotels are really
expensive.
No.
I asked because, you know, and, I'm going out there in, oh, you know, oh, I forgot to talk about that. I have to put on the list for next week. Oh, I won't be here next week.
Yeah, hotels are really expensive.
I got my BlizzCon ticket, so I waited in line, and then I got my BlizzCon ticket. So I am definitely going out for my BlizzCon trip, and I will be staying. Whether they want me to or not, I will be staying with Vera for a couple of nights.
We could stay in Conscience's room. It's fine.
I'm sure he would love it. I'm sure he would absolutely love it. Anyway, let's get to our voicemail here. The one and only voicemail that we got comes in from my friend, not Adam's friend, my friend, Kathy Bacon.
This is a contact call. This is Bacon. I'm just wondering, do you guys ever get like road rage or anything like that?
Nope.
So I'm just like driving down the street.
Yes,
and
I do.
Douche nozzles in front of me, and we're stuck at a light, and it's on a curve, and he's in front of me in his blue Dodge, and he turns the corner, and I'm behind him, and he turns his blinker on, and he's going to McDonald's.
To get a dip.
And I'm behind him. And he stops. He literally stops. Literally.
Literally.
Stops at the corner.
Literally.
And it's like, dude, I have insurance. And I'm watching your brake lights. So I have no plans of running into you. But could you use that little gas pedal and get your car moving? Because I am on a mission. I am on my way home to get my checkbook.
Yes.
And now I hear sirens.
Who uses a checkbook?
I'm on my way home to get my checkbook.
For what?
And there are sirens behind me.
What are you?
Now I'm going to pull off the side of the road here so the sirens can go by. It looks like they're turning on Main Street.
Wait, is this a real commentary or is this part of the story? I'm lost. Were there sirens in the story?
It's a fire truck. I hate
I think
people
this is
who
real
don't
time.
Know they're supposed to pull off the side of the road.
Very confused.
See sirens or see funeral people. So anyway, I'm
who
like,
uses checkbooks?
I'm on a mission. I am heading home to get my checkbook. Yeah, checkbook. I said checkbook.
You have like
because
nine times.
When you purchase something and you don't know what the price of it is, you need a checkbook.
No.
Like, I couldn't say, hey, bank man, can you just give me a cashier's check for this purchase? Because I don't know what the price is because my husband didn't find out what the final price was. So we could just, okay, so anyway, this guy is like, stop.
You don't
and
have cash?
I didn't have to roll down my window or anything, but it's kind of funny because he's watching me in his rear view mirror.
Debit card?
So I flipped him two birds.
Two.
Not one.
Two.
Two. I flipped him two birds. It's like, jerk, you're holding out my program. And so
right.
He has his hand on the steering wheel, his left hand on the steering wheel, and he sticks his middle finger on his right hand out his window. I'm like, dude, I can see in your car. He doesn't have tinted windows. I do, but he doesn't. Anyway, so. What was the question? Do you guys ever get road rage? I wouldn't even say I was raging. I was just like, yeah, whatever. You're obnoxious. You're stupid. You're come around the corner and you're ticked off because I'm behind you. Oh, I just get, okay. The dog lady is at my house running the dog. Hands on, now I've walked out of my driveway.
She
There's
has
three
a
cars lined up there at the stop sign. None of these people are going to let me pull in my driveway. I'm blocking the person at the stop sign's view. Okay, I better go before I decide to run into somebody or something. And then I get in trouble for being on the phone while I'm driving.
I'm so confused.
No, I love it. All right, here. This is what happened. She was behind the guy who was going really slow. And then sirens came up and she had to pull over. And while she was parked safely on the side of the road, she shot the guy two birds. And he stuck his hand out the door to shoot her a bird back. And then in retaliation, he made her use a checkbook or something? I'm unclear on that whole thing.
I'm thinking of like these old women, like you're in line at the grocery store and they pull out their old handy dandy checkbook.
Wait, I have 14 cents. I have 14 pennies. Let me get those out here. God forbid you give me change.
What is she buying that she needs a, don't you have a credit card or a debit card?
What? Can't you just use a debit card? This? Can't you PayPal the money from your phone, like right to the guy, whoever it is?
Look, can I say in my defense as well?
Yes.
Kathy, I'm assuming she, like this whole joke about us not liking each other or me not liking her specifically is because of the whole, apparently
I like how you're playing it off as a joke, but yeah.
I don't even know how to put it, but when we went to Mount Rushmore, I didn't behave appropriately.
You did not. You were a bad host.
And this is the reason why I'm really nervous about having a meetup with people. Because what if I don't behave appropriately? Like, I don't want to be stressed out on my vacation about how I need to act around people. I mean, that's really...
Wow.
I love all of the listeners. I love all of you people. But I don't want to be stressed thinking, oh my God, what if I don't act right?
Look, just go to the restaurant. Yeah, pick your day, go to the restaurant, have the meet. They know you like, you know, giving heads. So they'll probably want head. And it's fine. Just make them take a number, right? Just set up some kind of like an order, whatever. It's like you'll give out head in the appropriate order. Whatever, mittens can help. Mittens can like, you know, give out the numbers or whatever. It'll be fine. All I'm trying to say, Adam, is, you know, if that way, then what you do is you turn it into kind of a game, right?
Oh.
It becomes like the game of boners. DI Plus is written, recorded, and distributed under Creative Commons. Give us a call on voicemail line 2x2 DI Plus. That is 229-234-7587. Or send us an email, contact@dubiousintent.com.
I'm just going to do this for everyone. 3, 2, 1, contact.
Why would you do that? Anyway, Adam, you know, there's this thing going on in Las Vegas. I don't know if you've heard about it or not. It's called the Pride 48.
Something
we don't know yet, but it's called Pride 48 in Vegas. If you go to the website pride48.com, you can find an amazing Excalibur discount code just for Pride 48 people. So if you want to go ahead and start making your hotel reservations, it'll be this year, August 27th through the 30th at the Excalibur Hotel and Resort and Casino.
Stay at the station next Sunday.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, Stay at the Station coming this next Sunday. So whatever that day is, the April 26th. I don't know what I'm trying to say. Good night, Chet.
Good night, David.